This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two of who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and every morning. Amen. Here we are, the second Sunday after Epiphany. I always thought those were funny names. The second Sunday after Epiphany. What does that mean? It puts us firmly in what we like to call liturgically ordinary time. Again, boy, we had the celebration of Christmas. We had the celebration of baptism of Christ. Celebration, celebration, and now ordinary time. In fact, the color green is the color liturgically for ordinary time. Green. There are art galleries and museums in Europe. We're used to seeing, how many go to art museums or art galleries or have been to one in their life, right? Usually, what color are the walls? White, right? They're white, a sort of neutral white, so that the art will stand out. Well, there are art galleries and museums in Europe and elsewhere in the world where the color of the walls is not white, but green. Green, because when you think about it, the background color of our lives is green. Green can almost be a sort of neutral, which feels about right for ordinary time. Right? But here's the thing. It's not just a background color, right? We of northern climates know the beauty of green. Especially these monochromatic days of white skies and white grounds and a lot of gray in the month of January. Green, the color of new life, of new creation, of springtime. And I know it's hard to think about springtime in January. But our days are getting longer, are they not? Our days, our skies are getting brighter, It's hard to say tell, but it is happening. This is a time, this ordinary time, is a time when we reflect on what this new creation is, what this new life that God is bringing about. And this is why, during this season of the church year, we have chosen to focus our attention and energy on baptism. On baptism. This is why we are starting our worship services not with confession and forgiveness, like we often do, but with a thanksgiving for baptism, a remembrance of our baptisms. Now, this baptism is a beginning for many of us. It marks the beginning of our lives in church, our lives as Christians, the moment when we were named and claimed and called by God through the waters of holy baptism, through the power of God and the Holy Spirit, we were brought into the fold, into the family of Christ's church. So you might wonder, if baptism is at the foundation of our lives, the beginning of our lives together as Christians, why do the pastors keep moving the font? Last week we're over there, this week we're over here. I don't even, you know, you got to come next week to figure out where we're going to be. Little cliffhanger for you. You got to come next week and see where's the font going to show up this week. Well, we move the font because, of course, that promise of baptism, that call, that claiming of baptism was not simply a moment of our personal histories. It was not simply a frozen moment in time where we, as little babies wrapped in a pretty white dress, were splashed with freezing cold water and screamed to all get out, right? There was not just that moment, but a constant moment, a constant presence, a constant and active presence in our lives. God, a reminder that that font, that baptismal promise, the promises we made, the promises made on our behalf, and the promises made to us are ongoing. A promise that takes on different shapes and colors when seen through the changing light of the years of our lives. I want to invite you to open your hymnal. We're not going to sing, don't worry. I want you to open up your hymnal, the very front of your hymnal, the little numbers, as I recall as a kid, to page 237. 237 at the front of your hymnal. Now, at the top, you'll see this comes from our service of affirmation of baptism, otherwise known as confirmation, right? And this is your part when we do that, the affirmation by the assembly, right there at the top of the page. The pastor stands up in front of the assembly and says, "You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism?" And then they itemize that covenant. One, to live among God's faithful people. Two, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. Three, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. Four, to serve all people following the example of Jesus. And five, to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And the assembly says, it's right there. Oh, let's say it like we mean it. I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. This is the promise we make. The promise we make not just to God, but also the promise You see, as we go on, people of God, do you promise to support and pray for one another in your life in Christ? Do you promise to remember not only your baptism, but the baptism of all those around you? And what do we say? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. Baptism is the marker not only of us as Christians, but the continuing mission statement that we have as followers of Christ and the gathered body of Christ as God's church. And we have, you know, specific tasks at hand, right? To live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper. That's what we're here for today, right, folks? That's why we come every Sunday, some even every Wednesday, some both, to live among God's faithful people, to participate in the life of the church, and to hear the word of God and to share in the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper. These are the things we do every single week. Well, most weeks, let's be honest, you know. We try. Sometimes we don't hit it every Sunday, but most weeks at least. This is why we bring or brought up our kids in Sunday school, in confirmation, in word on Wednesdays. We understand the necessity to live in community with one another, a community that is centered around the gospel message, that is focused on something larger than ourselves, and that is centered in the abundant and life-giving love of God in Christ Jesus. We are also called to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. This is the work that John is about in our gospel text this morning. John, baptism, water, give thanks for water. I'm thirsty, I need a drink. I'm going to have a little drink so that I don't choke on my own self trying to talk. Thank you, God, for water. This is the work that John is about, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. John, an increasingly popular teacher, preacher, baptizer, and movement leader who focused his attention not on his own ideas, not on his own motives or philosophies or beliefs, but on his own witness. Look, John says. Look again, John says. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. Look, here is the Lamb of God. John points away from himself and directs the attention of anyone within earshot. I'm pretty sure John was not a quiet dude. Points their attention towards Jesus. Even his own followers, right? Even his own disciples, the crew around him, he says, no, go with that guy. Follow that guy. Look. There he is. We are called in our baptismal covenant to serve all people following the example of Jesus. Jesus walking down the street, minding his own business. I don't know what he was doing that day. Walking down the street, John says, look, that's the guy. The disciples come to follow him. Now, there are a couple of ways we can imagine this. It's tempting to imagine Jesus walking along and suddenly there's a couple of guys just following him where he goes. And he turns around and says, what are you looking for? What do you want? Right? I'm tempted to make that statement half the time. I don't think that's what Jesus said. I don't think that doesn't seem to scan biblically with his tone, generally speaking, especially towards disciples. Jesus walking down the street, two disciples start to follow him. He turns to them and asks them, "What are you looking for? What do you need?" He turns to them. I spent several years as a preschool teacher. And among the skills you develop as a preschool teacher, there are many. One of perhaps the stranger ones is the ability to walk for great distances backwards. Right? Your job as a preschool teacher is not simply to have the kids follow you wherever you're going. You could do that. Right? Jesus could have done that. Jesus could have said, "All right, let's go." Trusting that the following is happening and soldiering on. How many of you ever led a group of kids somewhere? Okay? If you did that, what happens to the kids? You lose half of them. That's right. So you learn how to do this. Walk for great distances, walking backwards. Not simply because you want to ensure everybody's following you, but also it is your responsibility, your call to ensure that they are safe. So you're always keeping your eye on the kids. And you get really good at figuring out where those tree branches are or where the debris is to step around, right? One of the reasons that we turn towards the kids in those moments, though, is also to show that we are engaged with them. As I've gotten older, it's become harder for me to hear people talking and knowing what they're saying if they're not looking at me. I don't know why, but I need them to look at me when they're talking to me. Now, I could say, "Look at me when you're talking to me." And sometimes I do, to my kids, right? But what's more important is that turn, right? Jesus turns to the men following him and says, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? Jesus turns his attention, turns his focus, establishes a relationship with those men following him and asks them a question. Doesn't tell them who he is, doesn't tell them what to do, doesn't say why he's come. No, he asks them a question. What is it that you are looking for? What is it you seek? What is it that you need? Jesus turns to them in the spirit of curiosity. Jesus engages these people both physically and verbally, inviting them to offer their desires, their needs, their hopes, their questions. This week and in the months ahead, we will be spending some of our time together in fellowship, following worship, engaging in a forum of fellowship. Not just sitting with each other, chatting and having coffee and donuts, as wonderful as that is. But by engaging very intentionally, by posing questions and listening deeply to the stories that we have to offer one another, and ultimately to learn how to better engage, how to engage more fully and more effectively with the stories of our neighbors. I watched a beautiful video this weekend of one of my theological heroes, a Presbyterian pastor from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, named Fred Rogers. I don't know if you've heard of him. Otherwise known as Mr. Rogers. And in this video, Mr. Rogers does a beautiful turn, a few turns, when he talks about how important it is that we love one another. He says, "And even harder is to love someone who has been mean to you. And then he says, and especially when that person is yourself. And he says, have you ever been mean to yourself? He said, it's important to look inside and find that loving part of you and to never, ever be mean to that part, to care for that part, because that loving part inside of you is what makes it possible for you to love your neighbor. A way that we can engage this loving part is through curiosity and listening, not only to each other, but also to ourselves. Very often when we're asked what seems a silly question, and maybe we have a silly answer that's maybe a little bit embarrassing, and I don't know if I want to share that with everybody, right? We are judging that experience. But that experience has meaning for us. Otherwise, we would not have brought it up. Otherwise, it would not have come to mind. Engaging with curiosity, with ourselves and with each other, helps to build great empathy. And from empathy comes love, and from love comes the next part of our baptismal covenant, to strive for peace and justice in all the earth. Our worship life, a critical and central part of our lives together as a community of Christ the King, as faithful Christians, has a structure to it. I hope you didn't put your book away, but I want to invite you to open your red book again to the very front, the little numbers again, to page 92. I'll give you a second to follow while I give thanks for water again. We thank you, God, for water. On these pages, you see the structure of our worship service. A structure that is broken into four general themes. Many moving components, many moving parts, even a movable font, right? But all of those parts have a tendency to fall under these main key areas of focus. The first one, read it to me. Gathering. The Holy Spirit calls us together as the people of God. We gather together in this space for this purpose, to praise and give thanks. What's the second key area of focus? Word. God speaks to us in Scripture, reading, preaching, and song. We encounter God in one of the many ways, but one of the most fundamental ways we have as what we are called the people of the book, right? Through God's Word. What's our third component? The meal. We gather at God's table. We gather to break bread, to drink wine, to remember Christ, and to experience Christ's presence among us. God feeds us with the presence of Jesus Christ. And finally, what's our fourth key area? Sending. God blesses us and sends us in mission to the world. We are gathered together. We are fed by word. We are nourished through the presence of Christ in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine. And then we are sent out. Sent out into our communities, sent out into our neighborhoods, sent out into our daily lives to be beacons of the love we have been the recipients of, to share the good news. Christ turns. He asks the disciples what they seek, and they say, we want to see where you're living. We want to see where you abide. What are you all about? And what does Jesus say? He says, come and see. He doesn't say, I live on DuPont, 36th and DuPont. It's kind of a haul from here, but no, he says, come and see. Jesus invites those disciples not only into his home, but invites them into this new life of ministry, this new life of abundant love, this new life centered on the good news. Christ invites us too into relationship with God, into community with all the saints and the faithful, into service to the neighbor, and into the realization of justice and peace that is promised not only as something to be hoped for, longed for, but for something that is to be imagined and enacted now. Tomorrow, we celebrate the birth of Martin Luther King Jr., a prophet, if ever there was one. But it's important when we honor that man and this day that we remember this is not simply the honoring of a historical moment. This is not simply honoring the contributions of one man to the movement of civil rights, to the movement to realize justice only for African American people, but a remembrance of a man who sought justice at all costs. Who sought justice not only for people of color, but also for poor people. A man who sought justice and the end of war, all at great political cost to him. Martin Luther King Jr., who was an active listener as well, engaged with his community, engaged with his congregation. We remember him as this great speaker and movement leader. We forget this man was also a parish pastor. And also this man who was an active and constant voice of witness to God and God's abundant, life-giving, liberating love in Christ Jesus. A man who, as in the psalm says, did not restrain his lips. A man who did not conceal the steadfast love and faithfulness of God for the whole congregation. As we move through our days and weeks ahead, and in these months as we deepen our engagement with one another, let us remember to follow the example of Jesus, right? As our covenant, baptismal covenant says, serve all people by following the example of Jesus. Let us turn to one another. Let us ask questions of one another. And let us hear the needs of one another. This is how we are called to live. This is what we are sent out to do. And this is what God invites us into through Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Holy and merciful God, God of light, God of love, you sent John to us as a witness, pointing away from himself towards the real truth, the real light, Jesus. Help us to point away from ourselves. Help us to seek peace and justice through all the earth. Help us to seek to care for the neighbor. Help us to honor the gift you have given us by sharing it with all that we meet. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing a song.